Justice Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM, bringing the issues of youth in and from care, from their lives to your minds.
Hello. Hola, hola. ¿Cómo estás, señores y señoritas? No, I'm sorry, this is not the Spanglish show. It is Voices, System Kids in the House. And today is a very special show. It is our season finale. It's Jaina's finale. And we have a very special guest here in the studio with us who needs no introduction because he's like super famous as
my
a helper.
Mom, my mom thinks so. My mom thinks so.
Yeah, I know so. Like one of the ultimate adult champions that we like to say, people that actually do as they say, right? A lot of people say, oh yeah, every child matters. This is a man that has been showing young people they matter and helpers that they matter and that everyone freaking matters. So welcome, Señor Stephen de Groot.
Thank you so much. And yeah, forgive me, my voice is, I've been on a speaking tour and traveling, so I'm trying to sound like myself. Thank you for the wonderful introduction, Marie and Jaina. And yeah, just miss you both. And of course, I do what I say I'm going to do. I don't think there is a more important population than children, right? And as my friend Jean Clinton says, all children are our children. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt a responsibility, mm-hmm. like a passion, right? And so, yeah, thanks for having me. I'm so overwhelmed with, just really good feelings to be back here. With you too, because you do so much. So Thank you.
Well, we're going to try to, I know there's so much, like an hour is not even close to enough time. Like, I feel like we just need like a whole weekend retreat with Steve.
Do you remember those days?
Yes, I do.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I remember the youth engagement strategy, all the different things we did. Like it feels like a lifetime ago. It wasn't that long ago, but we did so much and we heard so many stories.
It was at least 15 years ago.
Okay, hold on a sec. Marie, can't hear you.
Yeah,
okay, try now.
Hello?
Oh, okay, sorry. I don't know what's going on. I can't even hear me now. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, I pressed the wrong button. Sorry.
Here? Oh, here we are.
There we are.
Luke is listening. I could hear Luke going, Mom, how do you keep forgetting that button?
Awesome.
The same button.
Yeah, go again, Marie.
Well, what I was going to say, now I can't remember what I was. Oh, it was a long time ago. Mm-hmm. When I think about it, like that was 2008, 2009 when we did the...
We did the retreat. It was like 2010. We started 2008.
We started in 2008.
Yeah.
With the GA.
Yes.
The Yes Project. And Jaina came aboard and Shimon.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And we heard so many stories. Like, I mean, that was one weekend of many days, mm-hmm. right, over the years. And the stories stay with me, mm-hmm. right? And that's why I love, you know, hearing the little voice at the beginning of the show. You know, it's not just from their, you know, their experience or their stories to our heads. It's to our hearts, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, once you open your heart to their stories, I mean, you can't not help. Right.
Yeah,
that's great.
And I often love reminding people when they're talking about some of the advances that have happened since then, like Futures Forward and that collaborative support. I'm like, that was made by young people who got together and shared and inspired an idea. Yeah. So
everything happened in this province. Like, there are some key people. I want to keep it positive, but like the work that you did, Marie and Jaina, just so much hard work. And a couple times we got boards there, we got decision makers there, and they felt really bad and they're awkward and everything. And we're like, you need to do this. This is your job, right? And we had so many young people, you know, because there's that balance between feeling like we're capitalizing on their story and exploiting them again, right? Because they've had so... You know, and when the media shows up and then the government shows up, you're just sensing like, okay, like we got to protect these kids because this is important. But some of them are here to exploit the situation for a gain other than for the youth. And, that, you know, it was, it was fun. It was fun being there. And we got lots done because of you two and the young people.
What a privilege. No, totally. Okay. And I just want to interrupt quick and pause and just say welcome back to our listeners and big welcome to those that are maybe tuning in for the first time. Welcome. We are System Kids. This is our last show of the year. As you know, every month we talk about a different issue, a different theme. This month, our theme is voice. Mm-hmm. And we have phenomenal voices in our studio here today, and we're going to be, I'm sure, reflecting back and forth about different times that the power of voice has changed policy and made things better, and you know, the importance of continuing to use your voice until change happens, until you're heard. At Voices, we say that, you know, for young people, we need to ask them, we need to listen, and we need to believe. Mm-hmm. If you want to know more about voices, about rights, about advocacy, about how you can make a change, or how you can be maybe an adult champion, please reach out to Marie at Voices, ask at voices.mb.ca. You can check them out on the Insta, the Facebook, the X, but unfortunately, Marie is too crusty to get the TikTok.
No TikTok, no Snappy Chat.
No Snappy Chat, no Discord or whatever.
No Twitch.
Yeah.
So watch me play Super Mario while we talk about youth rights.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you want to just quickly tell us what's going on at Voices this month,
sure.
This summer?
Do you want to do the icebreaker first? Or?
Oh, sure. Let's do the icebreaker.
You got, I left mine.
Okay, so this is our season finale, and it's also the final episode with Miss Jaina at the controls. Change, transitions, they are a part of life. Can you share a memory of a significant change or transition that you've experienced, or a piece of advice that got you through it?
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Marie, please.
Okay. Well, as I was thinking about this a little bit earlier this afternoon, definitely a lot of different transitions, and I'm not good with change. Some of my favorite people have retired, and I feel a little lost. Like, I keep telling Jay he's not allowed to retire. but I think a piece of advice that has gotten me through transitions is that idea of reason, season, or lifetime. Mm-hmm. Whether it's people or experiences, they will either last for, they're here for a reason, they're here for a season of your life, or, you know, sometimes those people are meant to stay connected for a lifetime, even if in different ways. So, yeah, I think that's one thing that's gotten me through change experiences. And just remembering not to take it personal. You know, someone retires, it's not because they hate you. It's because it's because they're 70.
It's not about you. Right?
It's not about you.
Yeah.
Relax.
You're not being abandoned again.
Everything's not about you.
All my attachment issues, all my abandonment issues, right up to the front. So.
Yeah.
Wow. What can I think of change and transitions? Like, I feel like I could write a book on that. Mm-hmm. Definitely, you know, recovering gypsy. Lots of moves, lots of changes. But, you know, sitting here with Steve, like, one of the biggest transitions for me professionally was the day I met Steven. And, you know, like, I had been through a lot, obviously, in the system and had a lot of healing to do. And it was a miracle that I graduated from college in child youth care. And I was just happy as a plum, working in EPR, you know, being a helper, supporting these young kiddos, getting them ready, helping foster parents be ready to accept them. I had all these different ideas. I just enhanced the level. The expectations were down here, EPR, and I, like, shot them through the roof, which didn't make me too popular with my teammates. But, you know, I know my heart was happy helping these kiddos. But I was so bored, you know, and I begged my boss, please let me go to training. Let me go to training. Let me go to training. And I went to training, and there Steve doing the RBSA training. And
it was, yeah, the grand room in the Forks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember this massive heart.
Yeah.
With legs and energy. And and I knew right away, we talked, and I think, speaking of Jay, I went right back to him that day. Mm-hmm. And I said, I think we've got one of the first youth engagement strategy ambassadors. Like, I just met her.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was shocked. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think I'm qualified. You know what I'm saying? I was a bad kid. Mm-hmm. You don't want me at the authority. He's like, don't worry. We'll teach you. I'm like, are you sure?
Well, the authority needed your authority
at
that time.
Yeah, right?
They needed your expertise.
Yeah.
And but I think that's what you brought.
And, you know, at that time, I was already 28. And this was the first time, well, the second adult ever in my life to hear what we had talked and screamed for in the 90s at the Youth and Care Network when it was born. The only other adult that supported the youth vision like Steve did that day was Wayne Govereaux, who was the children's advocate at the time when the network was born. He was a visionary. I mean, the helpers, the adult advisors were great too, but, you know, like, these are the people that be like, no, like, you feel something's wrong because it is wrong. It's not you. You're not crazy.
There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong.
You're not messed up. Yeah. That's not why these bad things happen. It's because maybe some people in your life had some issues and they're not able to give those things that you need, but you're not wrong for needing those things. I cried a lot that day. I still cry. Look, it makes me cry. Please, stop making me cry.
It's the love in my eyes.
It's the love.
So, that's awesome. And thank you. To be part of that is so important to me, Jaina. I will never forget that day and all the things that we did. My big transition, you know, you two always keep me safe. So I get to open up about stuff I don't even talk about very often. But my twin brother died, Dave, in 2010, knocked me off balance. But it reinforced for me that all great things happen because of other people, like everything that you're talking about, right? And if I didn't have good friends at the time to hold me up when I couldn't hold myself up through the most disruptive transition possible, I wouldn't have made it, right? So I think when I, you know, just to tie it in what we're talking about is, you know, other voices are important because we need other voices and what comes with them to be stronger, to learn, to grow ourselves, right? So that's the transition. It's a huge transition for me. I'm still transitioning from that one, but that was pretty big. And I learned that we need other people.
And we need those voices to be able to speak into our lives when we can't speak into them ourselves.
Oh my gosh, Marie, every great thing that I ever did in child welfare came from the children, the youth. It didn't come from bureaucracy. It didn't come from any, every time we listened, we truly listened, we had ideas that we couldn't come up with. And that's why Jaina, you know, when you came aboard, it was like, yeah, we need the real. Enough with the deal. Like, you know, because it sort of felt like we're dealing in stories and like people that didn't really get it. And no offense to them because they loved and they cared and they tried. But the moment we started to hear the stories, it's like, shit, we're not doing enough. You know that bad feeling we had? It's real. It's there. And we need to face it. We need to do something.
And the thing that to me that was most mind-boggling is the fact that implementing the voices of young people and the suggestions didn't cost anything.
No.
It was free.
Yeah.
It was just about being allowed to be nice and being allowed to show that you care, kids, being allowed to give them a hug.
Oh man, we fought for that. Did we fight for, like, don't even get me started.
Fighting for drop-in visits, unplanned face-to-face contacts.
How about
to
following
ensure
through
safety?
With promises that were made? Like, we're not talking, like, you know, we're not talking about let's go above and beyond to something that we haven't accommodated or we don't have resources for. We were trying to, in moments, just to say, they spoke. We said we listened. It's pretty easy. And then for some reason, we would get blocked out. And we'd have to, you know, it's like, the adult world doesn't make sense to them. It's like, now we got to go back.
Overcomplicated.
And just like, you can't have that. Why not? You promised me. Well, and then it was just, so their voices being elevated, honoring them, not just that they're heard, because I think the best way to be seen is to be heard.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you guys so much for sharing that peek into transitions and changes for you. And I'm so excited for the rest of our conversation because it's just such an honor to have you here. And like you
goes
are
both ways.
You are ways. You are a verb in the youth and care world. Like when it comes to helping people, even when I'm talking to our practicum students, when they're like, "Oh, this young person said da da da," I'm like, "Did you Steve them? Did I Steve them? Did you ask more questions? Did you like you know? Did you get to the root of what it is that they really want?" So hopefully we can get into that a little bit more later as well.
Well, that means a lot. Yeah. It means a lot. Yeah.
I'm gonna actually make that like a plaque on our wall. Did you Steve them? But our calendar, okay, so fam, for the rest of this month, it's like a few days and then the week is done. But leadership is still meeting tomorrow, and we're meeting actually for two more meetings as we prepare for the Prairie Child Welfare Conference, where the panel or the leadership team will be presenting a panel on the needs of 2S LGBTQ youth in care. So if you want to be a part of that, there's still time. Let you just come on down. Tuition waiver focus groups. If you are a past or present tuition waiver recipient, there's a research study being done on the impact and effectiveness of the tuition waivers. So give us a call at Voices. You know the number, 204-982-4956, and we'll connect you with the interviewers.
Yeah, and it's so important to come and use your voice about the tuition waiver, because it started out big and strong. We had 10 waivers per university, and that's been slowly dwindling down, and people have been backing up. You know, like Ecole St. Boniface Collège has like one or two spots now. Red River used to have like five. Now they're down to two. So come show these interviewers why it's important, why it matters, and that it's still needed so it doesn't disappear into the night.
And please, hopefully we can convince the powers that be that the tuition waiver needs to now be extended to graduate school. Dream big.
I remember you texting me when the waiver, the first time, like I'm having all these flashbacks. Yeah. Like we were so connected. And when that came in, it was like a miracle. It was a miracle, right? Yeah. It was incredible. Yeah. So use your voices and let's keep pushing
exactly,
for change.
Exactly. Scholars Night at the end of this week. We're going to have a barbecue. Not entirely sure where yet. Someone voted for Kildonan Park. So it's probably where we'll land. But if you are in post-secondary and you're a young person from care or a student from care, age doesn't matter. Come have a hamburger. Let us feed you. Let's talk about the summer. The Voices Network Retreat is coming up June 14th to 16th, so we hope that you will be there. It is open to young people in and from care age 14 to 24. If you are over 24, we are always looking for alumni support. So come join the adult support team, help create a great space and a welcoming environment for young people to make their voice heard, to learn, laugh, and make connections over the weekend. Just a reminder, Keith Cooper Scholarship deadline is July 15th. You can get the application on our website. And Voices is still hiring, so the job postings will stay on our site until those positions are filled. So
nice.
Go check it out.
I should check it out.
Come check it out. Might be a bit of a nonprofit pay cut, but it'll be a great experience. And then our pie in the sky, totally looking forward to November. If you've got some extra pocket money, there is a by alumni for alumni conference happening in Boston, Re-envisioning Foster Care Conference. It is, like I said, by alumni for alumni, especially those who are working in the field of child welfare. So if you want to have that space to talk about what that experience is like, going from being a recipient to now an actor in the system, you might want to look into that.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. Another great opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's great. Look at the time's already ticking. Mm-hmm. All right, now it's time to get into our rights highlight. Every week we like to highlight a right out of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. You have the right to know all your rights, but today we're looking at Article 12, which says when important decisions are being made that affect you, you have the right to give your opinion and to be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, Marie, why is this right important?
Well,
no decision about me without me saying
exactly,
what?
Exactly. And this is a repeat. I mean, we talked about this right earlier in the month, and you know how you have the right also to be represented by a legal representative, and you also have the right to not speak if that is your choice. Mm-hmm. But it just bears repeating that you have the right to have your voice listened to and taken seriously. But I would love to toss it to you, Steve, just in the work that you do, it, the story that always comes to mind from that training that I got to participate in was when you told the story of the young man who, like, his staff had made him a promise, and he got very upset, and they couldn't figure out why.
The sandwich story.
The sandwich
story. He went to jail for that. Well, I haven't told that story for a while, but yeah. Ooh, it doesn't take long to get me fired up, Marie. But yeah, there's lots of stories like that where, you know, he was promised something. And again, I want to say for the record that, you know, youth care workers are big, they're doing their best. They get up every day to succeed, right? And sometimes they're not trained, they're not supported. We know that. And they were really trying to do what they learned. Like, they promised, you know, really quickly, in like a couple minutes, it was level 4 care. So residential group home, very tough to be in, to live in. And he was told, everything's point system. Right? It's terrible, right? It's terrific. And yeah, he was told he could have a sandwich if he raked the yard. And this kid never raked. And he raked for 2 hours. He came into the house, had a bit of a scuffle with three of the other boys. And he just threw a shoe at someone else, told someone else to get lost in some very colorful language. It was sent to his room. And when he came out to ask for a sandwich, he said, "You don't get the sandwich." And it wasn't until the next morning that he had a huge outburst. And it led to an altercation. And 3 days later, when I went to see him at the youth center, the first thing he said was, "What happened to my sandwich?" And I didn't even know the whole story yet. And I just knew it was true, right? So, like, we talk about giving them a voice, but when they get a voice and we don't honor that voice, bad things happen, not just to them, but to everyone around them, right? So, but so it had a happy ending, because I remember some people, I'll name Dave Cool from Thompson, Sarah Blair, they helped round up the staff and apologize to him. And well, I wasn't sleeping unless that happened, right? I may have said I quit. And I was working a lot for free at the time, right? And I'm like, if we can't do this, what are we doing, right? And to their credit, they rounded everybody up and they heard his story. And while he was telling it, Sarah went and made him a sandwich, right? So it has a really happy ending, and it was incredible.
That's just one example of just how important it is to, like Jaina said earlier, ask, listen, believe, and also act on it.
Oh my gosh. You know? I used to say ALTAC, ask, listen, take it seriously, act on it, and what was the last one? Start again or something. I can't remember, but it was, like that acting piece is, my friend Kate says, it's the consummation of apology action. So with kids in care, it's the consummation that we care. You can't keep saying you care if you don't act on it. It actually has the reverse effect, right?
Show it.
And that's why, I think I upset some people here at home, because of my, let's call it passion or rage, depending on what side you're on, right? But, you know, it just wasn't right when we said we were going to do something as a system, as a group of people. And don't get me started when someone says, that's the system, right? Yeah. Like, I got kicked out of 114 Gary when I went around asking, where's the effing system? Like, that's another story for another time. But you know, I'm like, you know, we can't keep saying that. So I'll land that plane there, but see what happens when you ask me about the stories.
I love it.
The sharp edges are still there.
Things are always shifting, though. This is the problem, right? With the system is, they say, like, okay, we're going to do this. This is a great idea. And then try and get everyone on board. And then people get excited. And then all of a sudden the wind blows. And then it gets a backseat and something else becomes a priority. And, you know, and then you just got to try and wait, catch your turn for that train to come around again. And got to wait for that right moment to get people on board again. Otherwise, it just goes out the window.
And, and we got to balance the, like, you know, I had to balance my passion with respecting the care and the intention. But there's sometimes a big intention impact gap, and we need people out there to advocate for youth, right? And so on a positive note, let's send, since we're talking about the rights and voices, I would love to send a big shout out to Sherry Gott, the advocate, Manitoba advocate, and her two assistant advocates, Kelly and Carly, and the whole office, because I've always said there's not a more important office in the world than an office.
And she's calling it out.
Oh.
Because for years I've been saying, where's addiction services for our youth? Where's addiction services for our youth?
Yeah.
And she's went on the news saying, there's nothing for our youth. I'm like, there's nothing for our youth. Mm-hmm. Right. We have Yasu. You have to fight really hard to get them in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe ideally have 5 days to come and do some intervention work, let them sober up, clear your mind. But no, they have their addiction specialists and they can kick that kid out in a day, even after you have to do all this work to get the court order to get them in there.
Yeah. And some of these beautiful kids do a good job of getting kicked out. Like they need that such patience and buffer, right?
Yeah. And then there's 2 month waiting list to get into the Compass program, right? Yeah. So and then you look at Ontario. They have youth treatment centers like all over the place there. I'm like,
we got a ways to go. And there's some great people doing great things.
Totally.
And it's hard to get out of that gutter, that rut, right? But there's so many amazing people. Yeah.
So many good things.
Where are we succeeding, right? Yeah. And I think that's what we focused on a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Back then. We took that like values-based, strengths-based approach because you had to.
Always look for strengths.
We had to.
Yeah.
You have to start with strengths because if you don't.
I do.
Oh my gosh,
but
right?
Sometimes I think I do almost too much. Right? Mm. Because sometimes, like with my colleagues, say something will happen. There's an incident with a young person, and they're like, doesn't this freak you out? I'm like, no, I see the strength. Like, I don't know. Like, is this a critical incident? Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, he's Narcan. They're like, it's Narcan. I'm like, okay, but this kid's been Narcan like once a month. Like, this is almost a norm. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's not.
Well, that idea
shocks me anymore.
Yeah,
things haven't shocked me in years.
But the idea, I heard it today. You know, Steve, you're too kind, and I'm like, really? Can you be? Like, or you care too much? I hear that. You get, like, it's about balancing care and like connection and clarity.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
like structure with care, because caring without structure is dangerous.
Right? Yeah, that's
structure without caring.
Yeah.
is cruel.
Yeah.
Right. So it's that balance. So I don't think you can care too much and you can be too kind. It's like, let's elevate the other aspect of this. Let's keep safety a priority, growth a priority, and balance the two. But
I had to learn that as well, because from when I started at Voices, I'm like, okay, you know, coming in, I don't have degrees or anything behind my name. I just have my lived experience. What can I do? I'm like, okay, if the one thing I can do is love these other young people who have a shared experience as me, then I'll do it. And over the years, I've realized that love is more than just like cuddles and talking and snacks. Like, sometimes love is let's look deeper, like asking harder questions and like holding more accountable. That love needs to be balanced with accountability, action, clarity, all of those those important.
I'm so glad, like, this is why I love you too, but you didn't use the term tough love, right? Because it's not tough love.
No.
Because when you hear people say tough love, they're really just throwing love in there because they're...
like, I hit you because I love you.
I rarely heard people say talking about tough love when they're not frustrated.
Yeah.
Right? Like, things are going really well. I think Randall needs some tough love.
No.
But I love that. It isn't about toughening up the love.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's about elevating the other aspects that we want to develop.
Yeah.
Responsibility.
Yes.
Right. Respect. Self-control. Yeah. Right. You know, I mean, I can take a lesson from some of the kids we supported, because I look back and I go, I could have been better.
Yeah.
I got kicked out of another meeting. I'm not helpful for these kids. I remember getting kicked. It was the last time I was kicked out of a systems meeting. Mm-hmm. And I remember they closed the blinds, and it was back, I think, in 2000 and, probably just before we met. And I remember having this moment, like being on the outside of that door and realizing I'm useless from here. And I went for a long walk and, you know, got my counsel from my people, and they're like, dude, you can't keep pissing people off because
that is
you're not
so
helpful,
important.
Right? And and I think that's why, you know, I'm back to reconnect, make some, you know, renew some life into some old relationships and be down on one knee.
I love that, because, you know, we have some young firecrackers coming up in the network now, and they will fight to the death.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, and now they don't want you to come to that office anymore.
Yeah.
Now so-and-so doesn't want to meet with you anymore. Yeah. And we talk a lot about, like, advocacy is also building bridges. You want to build that relationship so that when you come to that agency and say, hey, this young person, that they're receptive to it. But if you're always going in there with your spears ready.
Yeah.
You know,
you have the right to be heard. You don't have the right to be verbally abusive to other people. And it's not about getting louder. It's about making your argument smarter. Yeah. But, right? Yeah. And showing. And like in the 90s, young people needed to be aggressive. Yeah. That's why we had the Screamer newsletter, right? Mm. But what I love is that there's so many organizations that are willing and ready and waiting for young people to come and speak, right? How many youth advisory committees are currently looking for young people to join those boards, to join those advisory, right? Yeah. Yaz team, Voices Advisory.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know Métis Spirit is looking, right? Like all over the place. So the opportunities are there.
Mm-hmm. And it's why the Voices program is so important and the retreats, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, many of the difficulties that they continue to struggle with is because of poor regulation, and they've never had an environment where they can learn to regulate. And I think that's one of the biggest things you've done, and we were able to do, and you continue to do, is you know, creating an environment not where we silence them, but allow we let a few F bombs go, and we let the anger, and we take a walk, and right, and it's
we slurpy it out.
We slurpy, exactly.
You know, it's a balance, right? You know, it comes out loud and extreme, then create that safety, right?
Yeah.
And then,
but that's where, and I hate to be like annoying with it, but that's where we say Steving it. So if this person is coming with all these big emotions, like we're not, like you said, we're not going to shut them down.
Yeah,
we're not going to quiet your voice. Have it out, and then let's actually have the conversation. Let's figure out what's at the root of this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So. And you guys are so good at that. And it's funny, as we talk about these stories, such a big part. I can't wait to come back to Winnipeg and do more again and reconnect.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I miss you and I miss working with you. Like, it means a lot to me. But there's such a big part of my life. Like, there's no doubt there's going to be people that listen to this and they have no idea who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my other parts of my life, they don't know my dysregulation. They don't know my passion. They like, they know my passion and my energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they don't know that part of the child welfare walk, the trenches, the sleepless nights, the, like, you know, the nights looking for kids, like over 100 nights. I did that over 6 years in different programs, right? Knocking on doors in neighborhoods, because that is how you show you care. And I remember a guy I met, 27 years old, he was a truck driver. And he's like, you know, when I say, you know, what was the best thing about that part? They remember the talk with Jaina. Mm-hmm. They remember the walk with Marie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like this, what seems like a small blip to other people on their life becomes the game changer.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And I remember him saying, you guys just gave me a safe place to be a dick for a moment.
Yeah.
And you didn't give up on me. Right.
Yeah.
And now he's a truck driver. He has two kids. He's married. And it's like, man, like, wow.
Right? Yeah.
Wow.
I remember this one kid, I bumped into her, like, I don't know when, maybe 10 years ago, but this she was referring to when I worked in EPR, and she said, you know, she's like, I knew you were cool and you cared when I was getting picked up for a date and you ran out to the car and looked at the guy and you said, if I wasn't home by curfew, you were going to kick his ass. I meant that. She's like, you know.
If you know Jaina, I'd like, I'll be home in 10 minutes.
Right? Because I always worry, like, oh, are girls in the homes? Like, people think no one's watching them, right?
Mm,
and then
exactly.
they're the ones that go missing and murdered.
Exactly.
Not on my watch. Mm.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
yeah.
Every hug day, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I hate to say it, but every year we dedicate it to somebody, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's another part of my life people don't get. Like, we lost a lot of kids.
Yeah. A lot of kids,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Including, like, not to be a downer, but even Melissa from the retreat that helped to develop a lot of the youth engagement changes. So it's
a tough
it's
road.
Very real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. And on a positive note, I think getting back to people that worry about not making a big enough difference.
Mm-hmm,
it's those moments. It's like a moment in time where they felt seen, where you followed through and you said, I'm bringing you that thing that you like, and you show up and you can see their face like, didn't believe you. Right?
That actually happened today.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, and they're like, it's that moment. You just had to follow through.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think that's where seeing is believing for them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And what I love about what you do, I noticed, like, you had to put yourself on a timeout sort of from child welfare.
Mm-hmm.
But the principles, right,
apply everywhere.
What we're saying to do for young people, what I love is that you're also one of the first advocates to say, like, let's do this for our staff, for our team, so they don't burn out. And that's not just child welfare, of course social workers burn out, but any type of frontline work that you're working in the people field,
the helpers,
helping as a nurse, as a doctor, as a police officer, as a lawyer, as a corrections officer, they all need this support and they all need to be loved by their management, by directors, by supervisors, because when they're feeling the love, then they're going to be loving those that they're in service to. And, you know, you know, Marie knows I've been tooting that horn for a long time because I'm so tired of seeing good people burn out and then just be cold. I'm like, what are you doing here? Why are you working two weekends straight? You haven't had a day off in a month. Like, you're not helping this kid. You're
like
you're
what you said, I can't help from out here, right? When you've been, when you're dried out and tired.
The resources, sorry, my voice, but the resources are limited. And, you know, I the reason why I went into leadership, I my favorite job is working with kids, like 100%. If I could do one thing for the rest of my life, it'd be to hear them speak and try to do something about it. But I saw the caregivers wounded, working wounded. And I saw one thing stood out to me when I was doing emergency duty work in northern Manitoba, which was really hard. After hours, like, you know, super violent. My first call was an attempted murder. And my mom's like, where are you going? Oh, never mind. You know, there's a child at the scene, right? And I showed up before the police. And that was my first of 5 years of that. And but what's incredible is, where was I going with this? Because it was a really good point. Oh my goodness.
The helpers.
Yeah, the helpers, right. So, so absolutely. Thank you, Marie. You're still helping me out. I remember going to the handoff the next day from the weekend, and it was 4:20 on a Monday. And I remember the person that was handing off the after hours said, oh, it's almost 4:30. I'm exhausted. And I said, the phone started ringing and it was 4:20. And I said, the phone's ringing. They go, oh, after hours, we'll get that. And I, and they said, it's only 10 minutes. And I said, what if 200 people do that today across Canada? And the phone rang and it rang, right? And we know that 10 minutes, that moment is so critical, right? But they were tired. And I couldn't say, like, you know, suck it up, buttercup. They were exhausted. They were emotionally exhausted, physically exhausted. And now I get that. So if we don't support employees and we don't support leaders to support employees, the practice, the quality of the practice on the ground wears down. Right.
Diminishes.
Wears down.
You know, I think this might be a good time for just a short musical break. We have a song from a young person in Alberta. What you looking for?
Signaling, I'm not ready for that.
Well, I've got stuff to talk about before you get there, so no problem. So, young person from Alberta, and the song is called Rights, Rights, Baby. So, I learned about this song on a on another Zoom call and met this alumni of CARE named Shay, and she works, or she is a participant at a program called iHuman, which like, I don't know too much about it yet. I did a quick look at their website. It looks really interesting. They use art and music and fashion to give young people a space to like,
that's
to
really cool,
make their voice heard. So this is a song that they made. Mahalia, the singer, is an Afro-Indigenous performing artist born and raised in Edmonton. She's not from CARE, but she has had the opportunity to observe unjustifiable hardships and experiences of youth in the child welfare system. Sean Arceta is the social worker who supported them to make this project.
Super social worker. And I think keep them coming.
I think Sean and Shay co-wrote the song because they started the group called You to Know, Y2K, which focuses on stories, experiences, and knowledge about youth growing up in the care of the child welfare system. So their intention is to raise awareness on what youth are entitled to who are in the care of the government. So this song is called Rights, Rights, Baby.
Wow, nice.
Fabulous. Okay, everyone, you're listening here to System Kids here on 95.9 FM. We'll be right back and enjoy this jam about your rights. Okay, should start working. Okay, sorry. Volume would work. Volume helps.
Fancy struggles are real, is taking to life. What can I do? Yo, I do know. Turn on your rights, and it'll show. I'm independent, like at a standstill. Raising my voice and hands, be hopeful. No, it's your turn to shine. Time to express some strength. stressed like a Valentine. Angry when I'm left super ghosted. Living a life, chin down, I'm toasted. Hated and beat it, you be coming your way. Voices to say my life ain't a payday. Put me on hold, you're building a wall. And if you don't answer, I'll go AWOL. Rights, rights, baby.
Come on, shut up today.
Rights, rights, baby. Got trauma left and right, fighting all the forces. Medicine and theories got me thinking. Reality hits, you sit here blinking. Spill them in, all blanks and conditions. Mandates by the oppressive system. What y'all missing is access to culture. Steering in circles, chased by the vulture. Strolling with my CSO. You got me on lockdown, workers on standby. Breach me, cause you won't say hi. Will you stop, yo? Will you drive by? Shattered dreams forced to hang dry. Barred in a life, no path or guidance. Judging who I am as an act of defiance. I'm hella resilient, it's not brain science. Love me or leave me, I'll keep trying. Caught against ties, they think they classy. Actions speak loud, hit the disc non-verbally. No matter the efforts, I'm still not good enough. Hope, no filters, I'm sleeping rough. Where do I go? The advocates on standby. Holding on a dream where my life's no alibi. Rights, rights, baby.
Come on, stand up today.
Rights, rights, baby.
Gotta stop selling our kids as a payday.
Rights, rights, baby.
All kids have rights to a future.
Rights, rights, baby.
And it's in the hands of our parents.
No matter what I face, I'm great like Gatsby. Caught as a file, lost in the system. Feeling conditioned, it's colonial kingdom. Where's my family? Where's my culture? Where's all the things like my basic needs? Rising my ways, it's a never-ending story. I reach out to you and you still don't believe me. Completely broken family, what else is there to say? Just another story,
just another story.
Trauma's defeat, my sense of humanity. Ministry, would you believe the truth? Your work is doing more harm, costing my youth. But hey, there's another resource. I guess you want me to hit the boost. Rights, rights, baby.
Come on, stand up today.
Rights, rights, baby.
Gotta stop telling our kids as a payday.
Rights, rights, baby.
We gotta show up for the youth.
Rights, rights, baby.
Gotta do it.
Rights, rights, baby.
Come on, come on,
Rights, rights, baby.
Love that song, Marie. I'm gonna keep awesome. That link forever.
That was good.
Yeah. Do you want that song? Call Marie, she'll email it to you.
Well, I'm hoping that Shay and Sean will be able to put it on whether it's Spotify or whatever other sites there
iTunes,
are. Because
maybe.
Yeah, because they work with young people from CARE, and I'm sure this is just the first of many great jams that we'll be able to play on.
Yeah, it was very good. Very good.
Yes.
All right. Awesome. Well, it's so good. The show, of course, time is flying.
Yeah.
As we knew it would.
So
weather highlight.
Yes.
Weather update. It's currently cloudy right now, but it's +5. Tomorrow we have a gorgeous sunshiny day, which is nice. Because I'll be fielding all day and I'll have my sunroof open. Mm-hmm. Got to plan out my tunage. Thursday is a mix of sun and cloud with a 30% chance of showers. But sunny is sunny on Friday and Saturday. Mm-hmm. Which is great. We do not want rain on Saturday. Saturday is Challenge for Life, and I believe Pride is also this weekend. Doing the 20K on Saturday with a few of my girlfriends.
Good for you.
It's a miracle.
Wow.
Yeah. I survived. I thrived.
Yes.
And so if you want to donate to my team, it's called Team Kaka, which stands for Kicking All Cancer's Asses, mm-hmm. You know, in support of everybody.
Very creative.
Yes.
Kaka.
Awesome. Kaka. Because I'm shit. Just kidding. Don't take the shit.
No, you don't. You don't.
No, that's the absolute truth. I'm going to just zip through our community connection and child welfare in the news because we want to just spend some more time picking Steve's head, brain.
it's so, in there somewhere.
Heart, brain, heart, everything.
So just very briefly, it was suggested that we raise awareness of resources Assistance for Youth. We know they do good stuff in community. Their office is located at 125 Sherbrooke here in Winnipeg, and their phone number is 204-783-5617. And you could contact them for a number of services, including housing programs, mental, physical health support, meals, laundry, cultural supports, education and training. But the reason it was suggested that we give them a boost is because their Level Up program is facing closure because there is a federal backlog in funding.
Right.
So Leah Gazan has taken up the charge, and they're just raising awareness of the need for this program to continue. It has been a huge support to those who've been transitioning from unemployment to employment, just getting that support to learn the skills.
Right.
So if you are a graduate of the Level Up program, give them a call. See if you can help write a letter or share your story with the media. There must be some way that your voice can help encourage the federal government to just hurry up. I mean, let's take a Jordan's principle approach to this. We know the money is there. Give them the money. Figure out the details later.
Yes, all right.
Sounds pretty straightforward. Yeah, you know, I don't know anybody else hasn't thought of that yet.
You know, it's like let's just keep it simple. You know,
just spitballing.
And then very, very quickly, our child welfare in the news.
This sucks. I don't like this. Go ahead.
Okay. Well. So it's Winnipeg's vacant Centre Village is going to be redeveloped for social housing. And it doesn't have a direct tie to Youth and Care, but indirectly, if I remember correctly, this has been, there was an announcement a few weeks ago from First Nations Family, or AMC, that they're going to be taking over the landlordship of this property.
So
I don't know what you're going to say, Jaina, but for me,
I'm saying we don't need kids in the hood. This is right between Balmoral and Sargent, right near Central Park. This building they're redeveloping, this is not even that old. This building was only built like 10 years ago.
It got destroyed.
They had kids in care there. This is where we have a lot of new Canadians living in this area that are from really war conflicted countries. These boys coming here, they have so much trauma, then they're developing these gangs, right? And it's not a safe neighborhood. We need to take kids out of the hood. That was an issue we dealt with years ago too, and we had advocated for more money for AYAs and independent living. Someone else there.
Like that they're going to redevelop this, and whether it's for youth or for whomever, is because they're going to knock it down, which is kind of surprising. It's a new structure. It was supposed to be very, very avant-garde, and it won awards. But I tell you, you know, if it's not too strong a word, it was a very stupid structure. It's three stories. I remember going there once to visit a young person. The main floor is smaller than this studio, and somehow you're supposed to figure out how to get your stroller in there, and then you go up another level to maybe the living room area. The kitchen's on the main floor. Living room on the second floor. Bedroom's on the third floor. If you're a young mom, I remember being a young mom, like how this doesn't make any sense. So just the whole design of it was, maybe it was better on paper. They're going to be knocking it down and making one apartment block kind of a more standard layout of suites, and so that might help with the safety as well, if it's not just like an emotionally trying space to live in.
Right. Emotionally trying. I'm sitting here, it's like I'm sitting here between two opposing feelings about this.
Welcome to the view.
Yeah,
this one's Joy over there.
Yeah, and Marie's optimistic, and Jane is ready to fight. Gaga.
She woke up and chose violence today.
Yeah, she chose violence.
No. Sunshiny, happy.
I'm just going to let that one.
There's not too much to say, but I mean, we don't have any direct control over it. But just when I read it, I think the part that made me laugh was, speaking of voice, I can't remember, but somebody says the layout was just impractical. It was really impractical. It just didn't work for families.
Okay, but would you want your child standing in front of the bus there?
Standing in front of
like
the bus.
Like taking a bus. Would you feel safe with your your kids.
I'm the wrong person to ask. This is where I grew up.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a good conversation. It's a good conversation to have, I think.
It's different.
And there's some great people, I think. You know, one of the things that I'm hoping for in Manitoba is that the systems start working better together. Like, mm-hmm. Health.
Yeah.
Health gets hung up with housing, and housing gets hung up with addictions, and addictions get hung up, and child welfare. So, this is a community problem.
Yes.
This is not a housing problem.
Yeah.
It's a community problem, and it's a unity problem, right?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of all of those other systems, I think, if I remember correctly, there was a line in here that they are going to try to make it kind of that wraparound support, where they will be adding some other supports in there. Who knows what that will actually look like?
Mm-hmm.
But I can't find it quickly enough to quote.
Maybe it'll, maybe them redoing the whole Balmoral Hotel right next door there, mm-hmm. into a beautiful community, mm-hmm. living space will trickle down, south there to this apartment building and give some much needed love and healing. We need to get the elders there and 100 pounds of sage, at least, maybe 1,000 pounds. And
that's
a
lot. I don't think I've seen that much.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just saying, trying to be solution focused here. Yeah. But this time, Steve, I've had such a blast reminiscing, the transition in my life because of you and how you've inspired and role modeled and kicked ass for young people.
It's never enough.
We got to hear, I'm so happy to hear your hopes to come back and work again within child welfare. But it's not like you went on a timeout and just went on vacation.
No.
For all these years. You've been busy.
And you've taken
these principles, this philosophy of how to work, how to love your work, how to give love in your work to all these different systems. Mm-hmm. So now you got more evidence in your back pocket that this is effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell us more about it. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're trying
to. What have you done?
We're trying to. What have I done? Oh, my gosh.
Do you know Bruce Perry?
I haven't talked to him directly. I work with people who work with him closely. And
nice.
His work is amazing, of course.
So is yours.
You're up there. Well, it's coming out, actually. Some of the work I've been doing is a lot of case studies and a lot of pilot projects. And I'm happy to be here, although my voice doesn't sound like I'm happy to be here. Mm-hmm. To working in health, with a lot of people in health in Manitoba, and again, reconnected with the Child Advocate Office. Now I'm here reconnecting with you. I'm excited about just bringing people together again, being more regulated myself, apologizing for upsetting people, and that was a long time ago. Mm-hmm.
I think you need to stop apologizing.
I have to role model, though. I have to role model, right? And I think I remember structural social work, Bob Mullally was the dean at the time, and he was one of my colleagues when I was over there. And there's a small part in his book that it says if you make the system uncomfortable that you're working with, that you're not useful to the system.
Oh yeah.
But I also took that at a time and I leaned on it to protect my privilege.
Mm.
Right. And
what
I
do you mean?
And I think there was times that I wanted to speak up and I thought I was speaking up to be useful to the kids in care. But I think with a lot of unpacking, I was just wanted to, it was more about my privilege and about being where I was at. Like it's hard to explain because I've never been a selfie look of the famous people I'm with and all. Everything that we did in child welfare, I did not put my name on it ever, right? We never did. But what I mean is I took that line because it's uncomfortable to speak out, even as a white male at some of those tables, right? Mm-hmm. And it hit me one day with a conversation with a very close Indigenous friend that I think I might have been dishonoring not only myself a little bit, but everybody else that I was supporting. Mm. And I made a conscious effort to not hold back in that moment. Mm. So I took that piece of the book and I misused it, right? Mm. And I think we've got to be honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
Because, one of my issues, I'm a lifelong helper. I've been helping since I was six, and the people in my other life know that. So this is where my lives converge, right? And I'm perpetually disappointed in people. Mm-hmm. I really am. I look to people that can help, and we're not asking them to do more. Just do what you can. If everybody got out of bed and just did what they could, nothing more, man, would the world be better. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be you know, 30% chance of rain and partly cloudy. It'd be sunny, mm-hmm. Jaina, right? Yeah. So I really try to temper that passion still that I have, mm-hmm. because it's hard to contain.
Yeah.
But being with people like you, being with people like, you know, Sherry Gott, and, mm-hmm. and being with people like, I'm going to, you know, the Health Science Center people that we are working with over there, like beautiful people. I don't like mm-hmm. calling people out if I don't have their permission, but
right.
who wake up every day. Mm-hmm. Every day to help, mm-hmm. right? And when we find each other,
yeah.
it's easier to help.
Yeah.
And when we get tired, we can lean on each other, yeah. right? And it becomes less hard, mm-hmm. right? So I'm excited about coming back. I'm excited to reconnect some of the connections that I've made in other places and get people back and myself back into helping, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Helping,
oh, yeah. What a privilege.
Yeah, helping.
How amazing
yeah.
to have you back here.
Yeah.
Child welfare and helping. And, you know, I just, yeah.
I went to the prisons after us. Hey, I don't know if I told you that. I'd spent a lot of time in Ontario.
Yeah.
Thanks to John Scarfo, Tamara mm-hmm. Stone, the Assistant Deputy Minister, mm-hmm. Joanna Miller-Reed. In 2012, they asked me, mm-hmm. I was feeling stuck here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they asked me to go help with relational justice yeah. approach.
Beautiful.
And we trained over 2,400 mm-hmm. youth justice mm-hmm. direct service practitioners and then 600. And we felt this tectonic shift. It was mm-hmm. amazing, mm-hmm. right? My heart was full. Mm-hmm. These people were amazing at all levels, and then government changed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's
you know
so
that system
good.
Thing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
people came in that were less passionate.
Yeah, well, I mean, and yeah. that's unfortunately like this is the nature of social work, right? We are. I'm open. I'm willing. I'm ready to help anyone who wants help, and I can try, and I'm there. But as soon as my wheels are spinning, I need to back off mm-hmm. and put my attention to someone that is willing to accept my help, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. that's what you did. You had to step back from Manitoba and focus.
I wish I would have learned that, Dana,
in other areas.
Jaina, I wish I would have learned that, though. Honestly, if mm-hmm. I could go back, I think the analogy I use is mm-hmm. I became that cat that went to the person in the room that didn't like cats. Mm-hmm. Right? And while they tolerated me while they visited, I didn't change their yeah. appreciation for cats. I made them stuffed up. I made them resent mm-hmm. the visit. Mm-hmm. So that's my analogy. But I wish I could. If I could go back, I think you make a really good point.
You were loved. You were very loved.
No, but you make a really good point. Give me your hand. The second you understand that people aren't going to help, you need yeah. to move on.
Yeah.
Because you don't get that energy back, right?
It's
you don't get the energy back,
wrong.
Right? And no, yeah. it's just about mm-hmm. self-care isn't even the word. It's about yeah. maintaining your resources
yeah.
and your own optimism. Because
yeah.
every helper has mm-hmm. the day mm-hmm. where they get up and they wonder, am I making a difference? Do I matter?
Yeah.
And when that happens, when people that need to matter are on the receiving end of someone who's questioning their matter, mm-hmm. that's a problem, mm-hmm. right? And so I think, I don't know, I'm excited to be here, and I'm excited to continue to hold those values high, mm-hmm. expectations a bit lower,
yes.
some olive branches, some like, you
low.
Know, you
and
know,
everything is icing.
Yeah, because disappointment lives between the gap between expectations and experience, right? Like, mm-hmm. keep the values high, just drop that expectation yeah. bar.
That's and, the first thing they teach you in, like, 12-step community is, like, the higher your expectations,
yeah.
you know, the higher your disappointments, the lower your expectations, the higher your serenity. That's
yeah.
like
mm-hmm. yeah.
rehab 101.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and I think, you know, I say to people, when you know my heart, everything mm-hmm. else makes sense.
Yeah, mm-hmm. totally.
And, you know, I'm glad that you guys mm-hmm. keep calling me. I'm glad that, you know, I'll be in a different country or a province and get a text or an email to help with something. And mm-hmm. it fills my heart, you know.
So, need reference.
And what I'm there, right? Like,
mm-hmm. always.
Like, every time. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I could never thank you both enough. Mm. Like,
good
I literally sleep better mm. knowing that you're in the world, right? Oh, I really do. Because helping is hard.
Yeah.
Helping is really hard. Like true helping. Like a lot of people help. Don't want to minimize mm-hmm. every helping effort helps.
No.
But people who have dedicated their lives to getting up every day mm-hmm. to work in the, you know, in the shit.
Yeah.
And instill hope when they don't have any. Mm-hmm. To hold on to optimism when it's doesn't seem like it's there. And to create, and this is my biggest thing lately, is how do we create evidence? Because mm-hmm. a lot of our kids, the seeing is believing,
right.
yeah.
not the saying.
Yeah.
The saying's
yeah.
not believing.
Yeah.
The seeing is believing. The feeling is mm-hmm. believing. So I've been saying to people again, like, I don't mind if you don't help. Just don't say you're going to help and don't. Like we're good. We're good if you say nothing and you just, you know, keep moving. But, you know, these kids deserve that if you say something, you got to do something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Thank you so much. Like, there's so much for everyone to learn from you. Like Jaina said, even though maybe you started with child welfare, the values that you teach are really applicable, not only in the professional sphere, just in the family sphere as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if there is someone who would like to learn more